Live from the KNOE AM 540 studios, it's time for First News Talk Sports.
Good morning, Friday morning, April 8, 2005. My name is Brendan Spar, joining you this morning for our Friday edition of First News Talk Sports on KNOE AM 540. And what a day it is. Check out your weather forecast right off the bat here. Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 50s. I think the biggest news of the day is there's no chance of rain. We had the rain showers come through yesterday and towards the late evening, around 5, 6 o'clock yesterday, a slight shower here in the Twin Cities, but all the rain has moved out of the area and probably won't be back until Sunday night, it looks like. Check out your weekend so you can go ahead and start making your weekend plans. Saturday, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. On Saturday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. On Sunday, partly cloudy, highs around 80. 80 degrees on Sunday, how about that? Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 60s. And coming back to work on Monday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs on Monday in the mid-70s. Once again, my name is Brendan Spar, been filling in for Ray Davidson all week. He'll be back on Monday, and I won't. I'll be out spending money on gasoline. How about those gasoline prices? They're just keeping on going up. I mean, I remember last year, it was, you know, hovering around $1.50, $1.60, $1.70 a gallon. And now here we are above $2 a gallon. Where has all this gone? As you think gasoline prices are high now, just wait a few weeks. Gasoline costs now are at record levels, with motors paying an average of $2.22 per gallon last week. The Energy Information Administration figures the average price of a gallon will peak at $2.35 in May. And it's a lot higher in many places. Gasoline out west, for example, is often 18 to 25 cents higher than the national average. I mean, in California, I think they're already paying upwards of $3 a gallon. But we're not driving less. The statistical agency predicts demand for the gasoline this summer to be 1.8% higher than last summer. What's driving the higher costs? The administrator of the Energy Information Administration blames the high cost of crude oil, limited refining, and concerns about whether global oil production will be able to keep pace with the growing demand. I guess that's true. You know, back when gas was so cheap, you know, below a dollar, fewer people had cars and there was less demand. I don't know. I just don't want to see the gas prices jumping up, but it looks like we're going to have to get used to the number two. We're going to have to get used to that, and I just can't get used to it. I'm used to seeing one, and I'm sure other people are not even used to seeing one. They grew up, you know, below one. Maybe we'll go back to those days. Maybe hydrogen fuel or something is the way to go, get the gas prices down, and even that will probably be expensive. So who knows? I guess we're just going to have to get used to spending more money. But will we be making more money? That's the question there. Is everything going to be adjusted for these prices? I don't think so. In other news, construction at a new housing development in Southern California community has turned up a remarkably well-preserved remains of an estimated half-million-year-old mammoth. It includes both tusks. Preserved in Southern California, believe it or not. Moorpark Mayor Pro Tem Clint Harper says the on-site paleontologist found the remains, which includes 50% to 70% of the Ice Age creature. Crews were cleaning away hillsides to prepare for the building. Experts estimate the mammoth was about 12 feet tall. The bones were first spotted several days ago, and a special crew was called in after more remnants were found, including the 6 and 7 foot long tusks. Moorpark is about 30 miles west-northwest of downtown Los Angeles. It's amazing that this ancient mammoth was 50 to 70% preserved. Nice. Also preserved in a bowl full of chili was a finger in San Jose, California. According to this woman, and I'm sure you've heard the story, and if you haven't, it's bizarre. This woman was eating a bowl of chili at Wendy's and says that she found part of a finger in the bowl of chili. Well, now police have searched the home of the woman who said she found the finger. Her name is Anna Alaya, in case you really wanted to know. She lives in Las Vegas. Police from San Jose, California carried out the warrant with the help of local authorities. No word was listed in the warrant. No word on what was listed in the warrant. They're keeping it under wraps right now. Elias says that she was in San Jose's Wendy's restaurant on March 22nd when she spooned the fingertip into her mouth. If you're just waking up in the morning and haven't had your breakfast, I'm so sorry. She filed a claim against the franchise owner. Wendy's says it's done a thorough internal investigation and the fingertip did not come from its ingredients. Well, I would hope not. I didn't think that that was part of the recipe, putting a finger in the chili. I think it came from somewhere else, and I'm glad Wendy's can step up and say that. The employees at the restaurant were found to have all of their fingers, so it didn't come from the employees either. Where did the finger come from? On Thursday, Wendy's offered a $50,000 reward for verifiable information leading to the positive identification of the origin of the finger. So if you are missing part of your finger and you might have lost it in San Jose, California, you may want to claim your $50,000 reward. That might be something that you want to do. That's just bizarre. And I mean, I've heard of plucking a hair out of your head and put it in your soup and saying, oh no, look what happened. You brought this to me. Give it to me for free. But this woman seems to have gone to the extremes. And if she didn't, then I really feel sorry for her getting caught with a finger in your bowl of chili. And this has given Wendy's a bad rap. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever order chili from Wendy's after all that. Kind of interesting. Also interesting, would you have ever thought that Elton John would be praising Eminem? I never thought I'd see the day, but I never thought I'd see the day that the two would perform together. And that happened back in 2001 during the Grammys, where they were both performing together on stage. Well, Elton John says that Eminem once gave him goosebumps. But it's not what you're probably thinking. The rock star says that he got that all tingly feeling the first time that he rehearsed with the rapper for their performance at the 2001 Grammys. I mean, you'd think Sir Elton, he's performed in front of millions and millions of people over the years. He's the Rocket Man. You wouldn't think that a little guy like Eminem, Marshall Mathers, could intimidate him. But apparently he got all the schoolgirl all giddy, tingly feeling when he came up against Eminem. Elton John tells Rolling Stone magazine that he always admired the way Eminem thinks. Oh, wow. Just listen to some of Eminem's lyrics and tell me if you agree. Wow, I can't believe that. He admires the way Eminem thinks and never brought into the idea that the rap star was homophobic. Isn't that something, Elton? Eminem's homophobic, and you admire the way he thinks. Okay. He says people like Boy George and stars should see that too. He says people like Boy George and George Michael shouldn't get up in a twist about Eminem. Wow. Because they don't have the intelligence to see his intelligence. And I'll read that again. Stars like Boy George and George Michael don't have the intelligence to see Eminem's intelligence. All right, Elton. Maybe that's why you canceled the show in Bossier. You're not feeling too good. You need to sit down and not be giving interviews with Rolling Stone. Elton John is putting his pen where his mouth is, though. He has written an essay in appreciation of Eminem. Come on. Now you're writing an essay supporting him. Okay, it appears in the current issue of Rolling Stone if you're really interested, so go check it out. He says that the rap star is on par with legends like Jimi Hendrix and Mick Jagger. So Elton John is comparing Eminem to stars such as Jimi Hendrix and Mick Jagger. You be the judge. Eminem or Mick Jagger? I'm going with the Stones. And it was a mixed message over in Michigan. Say that three times fast. The message was too good to be true. An electronic highway sign on I-75 in Michigan told drivers, speed limit, 100 miles an hour. Go, go, go! For months, the signboard in Genesee County had been alerting commuters to construction that starts this month. Someone hacked the sign, which is controlled by a computer through a subcontractor. State highway officials say they're investigating who changed it and how. The speed limit in the area is 70 miles per hour, not 100 miles per hour. And the police do not encourage you to go, 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 unless you're Inspector Gadget or something like that. Bill Schreck, a spokesman for Michigan Department of Transportation, says that they were not amused by the 100-mile-per-hour traffic message. And let me just tell you, from one person to another, and if there's anyone in the Department of Transportation listening, those things are not the hardest in the world to break into and hack. In fact, whenever you open it up, this is what I'm told. I haven't seen a device like this, but what I'm told is when you open the, if you go up to it and open the little door that controls the computer, the password is written on the door, and you can just go in and hack it. I mean, I don't really condone anyone doing that, and I hope no one takes this message and runs out there and does it, but come on. Make it a little more difficult for people. And it was just a matter of time before this happened. Also in the news, this is out of Florida. What started off as some after-school tutoring is landing a Florida teacher in trouble with the law. And no, I'm not talking about what you think I'm talking about. Two female high school students alleged that their math teacher served them booze and smoked pot with them. Some may say it's a cool teacher, but the girls say they went to Zeman's house. The guy's name is Michael Zeman. They went to his house to do some makeup work. A sheriff's report says that Zeman admitted to giving the girls vodka and tonics and smoking weed. So the guy admits to it. The girls say that Zeman even showed them how he was growing pot in his garage. Zeman now faces a number of charges, including possession and contributing to a delinquency of a minor. The school district has put Zeman and his wife, who's also a teacher, on administrative leave. His wife has not been charged, though. Man, you gotta know that you don't do stuff like that. Oh, and maybe they were eating cookies afterwards. You know, I've heard it gives you the munchies. So let's talk about Cookie Monster. We've got to talk about Cookie Monster this morning. He's cleaning up his image. You know, Cookie Monster has gotten a bad rap, and a lot of people have alleged that Cookie Monster has led children to become obese because he piles on the cookies. You know, everybody knows that C is for cookie, and it's good enough for me.
Cookie!
Yeah, Cookie Monster. He's cleaning up his image, and now he's going to be known as the Not-So-Cookie Monster or something like that. Okay, this is what's happening. Sesame Street's beloved blue furry monster is going to learn some lessons about moderation in the children's television show as it kicks off its 36th season in PBS. Yeah. Now Cookie Monster is becoming sensitive, and he's going to advocate healthy eating. Who would have ever thought we'd see the day that Cookie Monster advocated healthy eating? His C is for cookie song has been replaced with a new song. Are you ready? A cookie is sometimes food is the name of the new song. We are oversensitizing we are sensitizing our kids too much these days. C is sometimes food. But wait, there's more. The show's vice president of research and education says that each episode will open with a health tip. And there will be new characters like talking eggplants and carrots. That's just what Sesame Street needs to become more like the VeggieTales. I don't know about this one. Show producers say that with the rise in childhood obesity, Sesame Street is focusing on teaching children about healthy foods and physical activities. And what about the correlation between Sesame Street and sesame seeds? Kids are going to think, oh, it's okay to go out and eat a big hamburger, a big juicy hamburger. Let's change the name of Sesame Street to Healthy Avenue or something like that. We need to sensitize our kids a little bit more here, Sesame Street. And speaking of being overly sensitive, let's talk about Miss Wheelchair Wisconsin. Got to talk about it one more time before we let the story go. It's back in the news. Will the story ever go away? I don't think so. Miss Wheelchair Wisconsin had been stripped of her title. Well, now she's being made to give back every prize she's ever earned in relation to Miss Wheelchair. Her name is Janelle Lee. She was crowned back in January, but the high school teacher later sparked an uproar in the Miss Wheelchair America pageant after she was seen in a newspaper photograph standing up. Pageant organizers say that the candidates for the crown have to mostly be seen in public using their wheelchairs or scooters. Lee says that she can walk up to 50 feet on a good day and stand while she's teaching. Lee's prizes included a new scooter, some jewelry, and a two-night stay at a Wisconsin resort. How do you give back the two-night stay at the resort? Unless maybe she hadn't taken it already. The Wisconsin runner-up has refused to accept the crown, so the second runner-up advances to the national pageant in July. I guess the story is raising a little bit of awareness, because I had no idea that there was a Miss Wheelchair. One more story before we go. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. It just seems like yesterday that Brad Pitt was married to Jennifer Aniston. And now, it may be that he is having a fling with Angelina Jolie. So, for all you that have to know the latest celebrity gossip, yeah, I'm talking to you. Reacting to a Us Weekly cover story about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie being romantic in public, Brad Pitt's camp says it's completely untrue. The cover screams, "It's true!" But Pitt's publicist says the opposite. In a statement to Access Hollywood, the publicist says, "This particular story is completely untrue." Of course, the Us Weekly story quotes an employee of a hotel who says that they saw Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie being affectionate. That could mean anything, even holding hands, you know. Us is standing by its story, telling the AP that Brad Pitt has long denied stories involving his personal life, beginning with reports of trouble in his marriage to Jennifer Aniston prior to the separation. So we shall see if Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are together or not. I know they're filming some kind of, I think it's a movie or a TV show together. And so that's why they've been spending a lot of time together. So we may be reading a little bit too much into this. Well, our news time is 8:23 on a Friday morning. My name is Brendan Sparr. Let's check out your weather forecast for today. Mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Highs today in the mid-70s. And tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 50s. On Saturday, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. Sunday, highs around 80. Be back in a moment with a check of local news on First News Talk Sports.
I don't get around like I once did. I depend on Haven Home Health to take care of my medical needs. Ella's my nurse, and she's real nice. She treats me like more than just being a patient. Whenever I need her, she's there for me. She helps me with my medicine to make sure that I take the right medicine at the right time. Since I've been with Haven Home Health, they've been keeping me out the hospital. I make it real nice because I like to be at home. No one cares like Haven Home Health. They are wonderful.
Good morning. 8:24 is our news time on a Friday morning, April the 8th, 2005. My name is Brendan Sparr, and let's check out some news happening around the country and around the world. Of course, the biggest news story of the day, the Pope's funeral is going on right now over in Vatican City at St. Peter's Basilica. And one of the Pope's closest confidants says that he's sure John Paul sees the crowd gathered today for his funeral. Standing at the window of his father's house, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger's voice broke with emotion as he pointed to the Pope's studio window overlooking St. Peter's Square, which was packed with hundreds of thousands for the Mass. Presidents and kings were among the dignitaries seated near John Paul's wooden coffin, which is adorned with a cross and an M for Mary. Ratzinger traced the Pope's life through his days as a leader of the world's Catholics. He called John Paul a priest to the last, who's been buried today as a seed of immortality. Here at home, one local couple is finding comfort in their own glimpse of the Pope through their memories and photographs of two private meetings with the pontiff. TV8's Bonnie Van has the story.
When we walked in, the Pope was already in the chapel. We didn't realize that. We were looking up the ceiling and I ran into the chair right here, knocked it. Didn't realize that the Pope was there, and it was just, you know, it was just overwhelming, the fact that he was right there at that moment.
Dave and Barbara Cater of Monroe have fond memories of Pope John Paul II. The couple was among a chosen few to attend Mass in the Pope's private chapel, not once, but twice. First in April 1998, and again in October 2002.
This is a front view. He said the Mass and his assistants here gave out communion to the group.
The first visit came through a request to the Diocese of Shreveport.
when we were notified about being selected to hear Mass for the Pope and have a private audience that evening in Rome, we couldn't sleep. We were just absolutely overwhelmed. Tears continue coming down our eyes. Every time we make a call to our children and our parents, letting them know of the call that we have, it was just overwhelming.
The second visit was by special invitation from one of the nuns who works at the Vatican that the Caters had befriended.
You can see the difference in the stature of the Pope 4 years later. His assistant say the Mass. He was just present in the chair at the Mass. And then when we met with him in his library and office area on this particular trip, he was not able to walk to each station of meeting with the people. He was placed in a chair with the assistance of his secretary right here.
Though the Pope's health had deteriorated markedly over the 4 years since the first visit, the Pope's spirit had not. On that last visit, the Pope gave rosaries to the couple, something they'll always treasure, a tangible reminder of the man who reached out and touched so many.
And as you can see, 1 million people a day, no person in the world has ever had an expression of a masses of people, of someone laying in state like that. He brought the world together.
And on Friday, during the Pope's funeral, the Caters will join others around the globe to watch and to pray and to say goodbye. Bonnie Van, TV8 News.
And in other news around the area, the backer of a proposed Louisiana airline says it's in the final planning stage and it would link Monroe to New Orleans and points beyond. The airline is called Direct Air and it's envisioned as a low-cost airline. When it was first proposed several months ago, Direct Air was looking to use small commuter jets to link Bayou State cities. But it's now looking at a full-size 737 jet serving Louisiana and some points beyond. Businessman John Miller says the airline's success could hinge on state concessions. Miller is the developer behind the successful Country Club of Louisiana in Baton Rouge. A Concordia Parish woman has been extradited to Texas following her arrest in a Faraday on a murder warrant from the Houston area. 21-year-old Latasha James of Sicily Island is charged with murder in the death of a convenience store clerk in Fort Bend County. The clerk was shot several times during a robbery on Tuesday. A second suspect was arrested earlier by police in Houston. Faraday police say Latasha James has been staying in Faraday before she was arrested by local police and Texas investigators. The police chief in Morehouse Parish village of Bonita has quit. The mayor says the resignation of Chief Trevor Wilhite was unexpected, since he had no indication there was a problem. But Mayor Virgil Penn says the chief left a note on his desk which said the job wasn't what he expected because the chief doesn't run the department. Wilhite took over the Bonita Police Chief's post barely 4 months ago. The resignation leaves only one person in the police department. Governor Blanco joins the mayor of Vidalia in breaking ground for the city's first ever conference complex. The $3.5 million project will be the largest building in Vidalia. The Gateway Conference Complex will seat up to 1,000 people for conventions and other events. The complex will also serve as a welcome center. The project has been in the works for several years and is finally becoming a reality with the help from Riverfront Community Committee and the Governor's Office.
Right, it'll stimulate our economy. We will be able to start bringing in mid-sized conventions to Vidalia and then on the beautiful riverfront on the banks of the Mississippi River across from historic Natchez, Mississippi. So we're excited about it. It's a big event for Vidalia.
While in Vidalia, the governor talked to the people attending a Southern Growth Policies Forum. The session centered on improving the economy and quality of life for Louisiana and Mississippi, and TV8's Sarah Lozama was there.
Chair of the Southern Growth Policy Board, Governor Blanco says she is excited and optimistic about uniting a people divided by a river, the mighty Mississippi.
We are encouraging every part of Louisiana to think regionally, to work regionally, and to understand the power of regional organizations.
It's a message that leaders in the two states are taking to heart. This forum was an effort to pool the region's resources, a collaboration expected to make the area more attractive economically.
So what we're trying to do is to bring the surrounding parishes, Tensaw, Catahoula, Concordia, to work hand-in-hand with Natchez, Mississippi, Adams County, getting the groups together, joining together to come up with some policies to bring businesses and industries to our community.
While cohesiveness lies at the base of the region's rural development approach, it is also working to embrace change. Farming alone can no longer be counted on to create prosperity. The goal is to level the playing field to give rural communities the modern tools they need to compete for high-growth business.
You're not only competing with the existing communities, but also throughout the parish and throughout the world. Now, this is a global economy, and we're going to have to adjust to that.
Governor Blanco says she's pleased with how hard the region is working to fuel its economic engine and the hope to share more than just a river. In Vidalia, Sarah Lazama, TV8 News.
And one in four Louisianians lives in poverty, so Governor Blanco has come up with a three-step plan to tackle the problem. She's getting help from Louisiana's Department of Social Services. Faith-based nonprofit and business communities are being asked to help overcome challenges, including teen pregnancy and a lack of jobs and transportation. The governor is also investing $20 million in the Louisiana FOR program for children.
We want to ensure that children are ready to learn when they enter kindergarten so that they can have greater opportunities for success through high school and then beyond so that they can enter the workforce ready to contribute that way productively.
State agencies are educating members of Louisiana's House and Senate about poverty in hopes that the public policy changes and they can be made during this legislative session. A new Louisiana State University survey says an increasing number of Louisiana residents are expressing confidence in the state's economic future, but most still believe that an overall lousy economy and poorly performing public schools create an image problem nationwide. The survey indicates that Louisiana residents think out-of-staters have a negative image of Louisiana's business and political climate, which hurts the state's economy. Members of LSU's Riley Center for Media and Public Affairs say that some of the findings were encouraging. For example, 52% of those polled believe the state is moving in the right direction, up from 48% last year. The survey dealt with personal finances as well as perceptions of the state and national economies. Some respondents reported that all three categories had improved during the last 12 months. While only 27% said that the state's economy had improved in that time, that was a substantial improvement over the 16% who gave the same answer the year before. Unchanged from the previous two surveys was that most residents named education as the state's most pressing problem. Jobs and the economy came in second, followed by health care. The 2005 Louisiana survey was conducted by phone with 964 randomly selected Louisiana residents 18 or older. They were polled between December 6, 2004 and February 21, 2005. Louisiana children lost their lives as victims of child abuse last year, 43 of them, actually. It was against that somber backdrop that two local agencies brought the people together at Monroe City Hall to raise awareness of the problem. Children's choirs provided music for the event sponsored by CASA and Prevent Child Abuse Louisiana. And the groups used the symbol of the blue ribbon to bring meaning to their cause. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Volunteers with the two agencies say preventing child abuse is everyone's responsibility and that we should stand up for children so we lose no more.
The event is really to remember the 43 children that died to child abuse and neglect in Louisiana in 2004, but also to focus on the positive ways that communities can get involved and make a difference.
The five things that we can all do to prevent child abuse are raise the issue, reach out and volunteer, remember the risk factors, recognize warning signs, and report suspected abuse. Here's a story that we reported on yesterday on First News Talk Sports. Over in Shreveport, there was a shooting at a Domino's game at this gas station. A guy walked in to play a game of Domino's, and they opened fire on him and shot and killed him. The suspects yesterday had fled the scene and were still at large. Well, two teenagers who were skipping school were among the three people that were arrested today on first-degree murder charges in the shooting death of a 77-year-old man who tried to stop a robbery during a neighborhood Domino's game. Shreveport police arrested Cordero Campbell and Randy Marshall, both 17-year-old students at Fair Park High School, And they also arrested 21-year-old Renando Johnson in connection with Charlie Lewis's death. Lewis was shot and killed yesterday afternoon at a tire shop, a popular gathering spot for Domino's games. Police said the teenagers were the two robbers, and Marshall allegedly shot Lewis when the elderly man got up and started to resist. In other news this morning, an intense manhunt is over in Texas after police say a student's father shot a high school football coach. Correspondent Allison Harmlin reports on the drama that played out in the area between Dallas and Tyler.
Police say the father of a high school football player shot the team's coach with an AK-47 and then fled the school in a truck loaded with additional weapons. Officials say Jeffrey Doyle Robertson had a hit list that included at least four other people. Cannon High School, about 60 miles east of Dallas, was on lockdown as police combed the area for the troubled father on a rampage.
They're getting more scared inside that building than they are being home.
Robertson was banned from school property after making threats both on and off the field. One father says Robertson targeted his son and another boy.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I told my son, you know, you lay low. If you see this man around, I said, he's a time bomb.
Apparently, the time bomb went off. Friends told police Robertson said he was dying and had been bragging about his plan to, quote, settle some scores, including one with Coach Gary Joe Kinney, whose son is the team's star quarterback. Coach Kinney was airlifted and is in critical but stable condition. About 2 hours after the shooting, police found Robertson's black pickup truck outside Canton. A massive manhunt ended when authorities closed in on the suspect. He reportedly told friends he didn't intend to be taken alive.
I suspect he was pushed to the edge in some way to do this.
Yesterday was Robertson's 45th birthday. He was carried out of a heavily wooded area on a stretcher and airlifted to a nearby hospital. Allison Harmlin for CBS News.
And the popular painkiller Bextra has been taken off the market. Medical evidence links it to a potentially deadly skin condition, as well as an increased risk of heart attacks and strokes. Plus, as Christy Feig reports, that other drugs sold without prescriptions must change their labels.
The FDA is asking Pfizer, the maker of Bextra, to remove the drug from the market. Bextra, one of the popular anti-inflammatories, is in the same class of drugs as Celebrex and Vioxx, which was taken off the market in September. The class has been under scrutiny from the Food and Drug Administration since last fall, when studies showed they increased the risk of heart attacks and strokes. In addition to the cardiovascular risks, the FDA says Bextra also has a higher risk of serious and sometimes fatal skin reactions.
It's a rash that becomes worse and worse, and unfortunately it can become so bad to result in death.
The remaining drug in that class, Celebrex, will continue to be sold, but Pfizer, who also makes it, will need to add the strongest warning possible to the label. Pfizer says it disagrees with the FDA's decision, but will suspend sales of Bextra while discussing it with the FDA. Some anti-inflammatories sold over-the-counter without prescriptions, like ibuprofen and naproxen, can also increase the risk of heart attack, stroke, and stomach problems, and will have to add new warnings to their labels. But for some patients, the FDA says they are still very beneficial.
You have to follow directions, take them in the lowest possible dose that works for the shortest possible period of time.
The agency says the warnings do not apply to aspirin. Although it can upset the stomach, it has protective effects on the heart when taken in low doses. In Washington, I'm Christy Feig.
State Republican leaders are considering whether to seek Democratic support for Social Security legislation without the private accounts sought by President Bush. Sources say the accounts would be restored later. Any such move could anger the White House, which is in the midst of an intensive 60-day campaign to sell President Bush's approach to the public. The discussions among top Senate Republicans come at a time when the drive to overhaul Social Security appears to be stalled. Polls show modest support at best for Bush's plan. Officials familiar with talks among GOP leaders say the lawmakers are wary of creating the impression that they are jettisoning the centerpiece of Bush's plan. White House spokesman Trent Duffy says Bush welcomes any activity that moves in the direction of solvency for Social Security as well as personal accounts. And it would be really nice to see a decision on Social Security before I need to draw from it. I would like to see that in my lifetime before I'm 65. So give me some too. I'm paying in. Give me some back. My name's Brendan Sparb, and filling in for Ray Davidson all week. It's 8:41 on First News Talk Sports. Let's check out your weather forecast for today. Mostly cloudy this morning, but then becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. Then tonight, lows in the lower 50s. On Saturday, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. Saturday night, lows down in the upper 50s. And on Sunday, highs near 80. Sunday night, 30% chance of rain. Be back in a moment on First News Talk Sports.
Savage has his stethoscope on America.
Edmund, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Thank you very much for coming back with us. We love you.
You're very welcome. Of course you love me, and I love you.
Yeah.
Savage.
Love and savage, love and savage. Go together like a horse and carriage. This, I tell you, brother.
Join Michael Savage live Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on KNOE AM 540, your news talk sports leader for the Arklevus.
MG Rover collapses. I'm Daniel Lester at Bloomberg Radio in London. The UK's last volume carmaker has appointed accountancy firm PricewaterhouseCoopers to advise it on insolvency. MG Rover suspended production yesterday after suppliers stopped parts shipments and the government declined to provide a $187 million loan. Germany's BMW sold MG Rover in 2000 for £10 after racking up losses of $6 billion in 6 years. Sales have continued to decline under new owners. European stocks are rising. Benchmark indexes in Paris, Frankfurt and London up a quarter to a half of 1%. Concern that higher energy costs will slow economic growth is fading as oil futures slide for a fifth consecutive day. Crude's now below $54 a barrel after reaching a record of more than $58 a barrel on Monday. But it's not all good news for Europe's economy. German exports fell in February and UK GDP grew at its slowest pace since the first half of 2003 in the 3 months through March. That's according to an economic research body. And that's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
In other business news, Adelphia has a buyer. Time Warner and Comcast have reportedly reached a tentative agreement to buy the bankrupt cable TV provider for nearly $18 billion. Adelphia's creditors say the bankruptcy judge must approve the deal. The New York Stock Exchange has chosen former State Street Chairman and Chief Executive Marshall Carter to be its new chairman. Carter succeeds John Reed, who took over the NYSE chairmanship in September 2003. After former chief Richard Grasso resigned amid a pay package controversy. The stock markets will pause today to honor Pope John Paul II. The New York Stock Exchange will have a moment of silence just before the opening bell. The Nasdaq stock market will observe the funeral in several ways. It won't have its usual opening ceremony, and it will hold a moment of silence at 11 a.m. Another look at your business news around the country. My name is Brendan Sparr, filling in for Ray Davidson. He'll be back tomorrow. Our news time is 8:44. Check out your weather forecast. Today, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy, and highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, lows in the lower 50s. On Saturday, highs in the upper 70s. Sunday night, chance of rain, 30%, but on Sunday, highs around 80. So a beautiful weekend on tap. Go out and enjoy it. Sunday night, a little bit of rain. On Monday, 50% chance of rain as well. Highs in the mid-70s. Be back with Clark Howard in just a moment.
That's right, baby. I'm not going to let you settle for being the queen of my double-wide trailer. I want to build us a brick house.
That sounds great, honey, but how can we afford it?
I'll tell you how. We can get down to United Built Homes. United Built is offering no money down, no payments for 6 months on all of their stock plans. Have you seen their floor plans? They're awesome. Check this out. Click over to their website, UBH.com.
What is it?
UBH.com.
Wow, those are nice. I like this one, the Arlington.
Hey, they've got that one on display at their sales office. Let's drop by there this Saturday and take a look.
Okay, where are they? I mean, how do we get there?
Well, we just take I-20 to the Bastrop Columbia exit, go about a half mile south. United Built has a big yellow and black sign on the left. We can't miss it.
I'm getting excited. This is going to be the best ever. House.
I've long been a big-time advocate of small business, of the spirit of entrepreneurship. And I've had a long-time belief that the real vitality in the future of our economy and the United States of America resides with entrepreneurial-type small business people, those who are willing to take a risk, risking it all, sometimes failing, many times succeeding. But if you want proof, there's new data looking back at the economy over the last several years from the SBA that shows how true this is. Big companies, my belief is the larger a company gets, the smaller its brain gets. And these stats from the SBA would prove that to be true. Really, all the job growth in the United States, all the strength of employment is with the half of all employers who are smaller companies. The big companies keep shedding people, merging, and all that. The real opportunity is with companies you've never heard of.
Good morning, Arklamas. ULM may have saved its best coaching candidate for last. Yesterday, Cincinnati assistant Andy Kennedy was in town to try to win over school officials. The 37-year-old has never been a head coach, but has played under and coached under some basketball masterminds.
I've had an opportunity to play for and coach with three guys in Jim Valvano at North Carolina State, Gene Bartow at UAB, and now Bob Huggins at Cincinnati that not only put their stamp on the game between the lines, but they were program builders. They were guys that transcended their programs. So I've had an opportunity to see that firsthand.
Mike Vining's replacement will emerge from these three finalists. According to TV8 sources, Kennedy continues to be the front runner, but UAB assistant Scott Edgar and Alabama's Orlando Early cannot be counted out. The decision is now in the hands of Staub and ULM president James Cofer.
They're all three good. They all bring something a little different to the table. They're all unique. So I think they'd all make excellent head coaches. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I can't have three. So we've got to find out who's the best person to lead this program at this specific time. We're looking forward to doing that and getting on with it.
On the diamond, Louisiana Tech is getting ready for its biggest series of the year as nationally ranked Rice comes to town. Even though the Owls have a losing record in WAC play, Tech knows it always will be a dogfight when the conference champs roll into Ruston.
Well, every weekend in the conference is big, and with Rice coming in, it's a tremendous challenge for our guys. You know, they were national champions 2 years ago and won this conference every year since they've been in it. It's a tremendous challenge, and our guys are looking forward to it.
You know, we haven't had any easy games all season, and we don't expect to have any now. So, I mean, pretty much, you know, that's why we play the games. You know, I know they're a good team, but, you know, I think we're a scrappy team, and I think we can pull it together.
Rice isn't running away with it this year like they have in the past. So it's a big weekend for us here at home. We need a good crowd out and try to get 2 out of 3.
Spring football drills continue in Baton Rouge, and with practices basically off limits to the media and fans, it's hard to gauge the type of impact Les Miles is having on his new team. But a former West Monroe star tells us Les may be giving the Tigers more.
It's gone pretty smoothly. I think things have gone well. Offensively, you know, we were a little bit ahead because we've had some offensive coaches that stayed. And, you know, I think the first couple of days we played well. And I think with the coaching staff, everything's going smoothly. I think guys are understanding that, you know, either way around, no matter who's coaching you, it's all work and effort and toughness when you play football. So, you know, I think that's something this team has and has got to keep applying.
Over at Grambling, Melvin Spears is leaving his mark on the Grambling program, and traditionally, you know, the Tigers are a pass-happy offense, but this spring, Coach Spears wants to work on the running attack.
We want to just concentrate on the technique aspects of it, to get our young wide receivers to understand the different defenses that we're going to see, the man coverage, the kinds of things that go along with that. But certainly here in our spring practice, we want to kind of balance ourselves out a little bit, run the ball a little bit, pass the ball a little bit, and get them to understand that it's a 50-50 game and rely on the supporting cast.
Let's go to the Masters. Tiger on the prowl. He's on the green on number 13. He's putting for eagle. How many times have we seen him in this spot, and how many times have we seen him drain this putt? But you know what? It's not going to happen this time. It just keeps on going, 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 kind of like the Energizer Bunny. It's going to roll all the way into the water. You got to be kidding me. Tiger is 2 over through 12 holes. Let's go to the leaderboard. Due to thunderstorms, yesterday's play started 6 hours late, but Chris DeMarco had a nice day. He is the leader, but check out Vijay Singh and Phil Mickelson. They were having good rounds until play was called due to darkness. Of course, the chase for the green jacket continues today. That's your look at sports. Have a great day.
And now for more sports news. Boston Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling
says he's ready to start next week against the New York Yankees at Fenway Park. Schilling still felt confident after yielding 7 runs over 6 innings in a rehab start for AAA Pawtucket yesterday. He's recovering from off-season ankle surgery. Also, the Tulane baseball team will look to continue climbing the Conference USA standings and the national top 25 when the Green Wave travel to the Tar Heel State to take on league foe Charlotte beginning today. The Green Wave and 49ers will battle again on Saturday before closing out the weekend on Sunday. Tulane enters the weekend series 26-5 on the year and riding on a 6-game winning streak. And that's a look at your sports.
Good morning. 8:52 is our news time here on First News Talk Sports. My name is Brendan Spar. Ray Davidson will be back on Monday. So glad you could join us on your Friday, April 8th, 2005. More sports news. I bet you thought I was done with sports. Well, it's a record that started in Brooklyn more than a century ago and continues in L.A. The Los Angeles Dodgers have earned a Guinness World Record for having baseball's highest overall attendance. The team that used to be known as Dem Bums has played before more than 165 million fans since 1901. Former manager Tommy Lasorda says the Dodgers have the greatest fans in baseball, and the record proves it. Lasorda is to receive an official Guinness certificate during the Dodgers' home opener next week. 165 million fans since 1901. Wow. And on this date, back in 1974, Hank Aaron became the king of home runs in Major League Baseball. The Atlanta Braves slugger hit his 715th career home run in a game against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The blast to left center field off Al Downing broke the career home run record held by Babe Ruth. As he approached the record, Aaron was the target of racist hate mail and death threats. He ended his career with 755 home runs, playing for Milwaukee, where he began his career with the Braves before they moved to Atlanta. Remember that, the Milwaukee Braves before Atlanta. Get you up on your Braves history. And I do think the Braves should be Monroe's hometown, home team. I don't care what the paper says that it's the Astros. I think the Braves should be our home team here. Well, our news time right now is 8:53. My name is Brendan Spar. Once again, Ray Davidson was so gracious to let me fill in for him this whole week, and he will be back on Monday. Let's check out your weather forecast for the rest of the day. Today, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Highs today in the mid-70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 50s. And on Saturday, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. Saturday night, partly cloudy once again, lows in the upper 50s. On Sunday, partly cloudy, highs around 80, believe it or not. We're going to get up to 80 on Sunday. Sunday night, though, a little bit of rain sneaks back into our forecast. Mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 60s. On Monday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-70s. And I want to talk about a story real quick that I found in the news that I just thought was really interesting here. We feature this guy every day, twice a day, on our show, so we need to give the story a little bit of air. Someone threw a pie at conservative commentator David Horowitz during a lecture at Butler University in Indianapolis on Wednesday night. It's the second time in a week a conservative has been hit by a pie at an Indiana school. Witnesses say there was some pushing and shoving when Horowitz supporters followed the pie throwers out into the hallway, but the attackers got away. After the incident, David Horowitz completed his lecture. He got back up there with a pie all over him and kept going. A Butler spokesman called the incident deplorable. Horowitz has criticized what he calls the left domination of college campuses. On his blog Wednesday night, Horowitz spoke of a wave of leftist violence against conservative speakers on college campuses. Horowitz had spoken out in favor of an academic bill of rights, proposals in several states, including Florida, that would force educators at the college level to present diverse views on the subject matter that they teach. The movement was initiated by a conservative student group who feels that they were discriminated against by liberal professors. Opponents worry that such measures would chill academic freedom and force professors to acknowledge long discredited theories. Last week's Weekly Standard editor, William Crystal, was hit by a pie during a speech at Earlham College in Richmond. And a commentator named Pat Buchanan was doused with salad dressing during a talk at a Michigan school. So I know Ann Coulter was hit with a pie. Now David Horowitz, Pat Buchanan with some salad dressing. You know, I need to start being a speaker. I'll get free lunch. How about that? We'll be back in just a moment to check in with David Horowitz and his fightback.com. This is First News Talk Sports on AM 540. Good morning.
For more news, breaking news, turn to KNOE AM 540, your number one source for news talk sports. Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingram, Michael Savage, and the 25-person news team of KNOE will keep you informed of the latest events and issues that affect us here in the Arklamas. And while other stations are sleeping, Ernie Brown keeps you informed from midnight till 6 a.m. News happens 24-7, and at KNOE AM 540, news comes first. Your news leader for the Arklamas, KNOE AM 540.
Isn't spring great? Colors are in bloom everywhere. Pink petunias in the yard, red roses in the garden, soft lilac in the bedroom.
Bedroom?
I let color bloom in my room with Ace Royal Paint. They've got thousands of colors to choose from, or they'll match any color you want.
Oh, so my kitchen could match my marigold.
Sure.
And my bedroom, tulips.
Tell us how you let color bloom and you could win a $1,000 gift card and have your room star in an Ace ad. Plus, save $5 on every gallon of Ace Royal Paint. See your local Ace, the helpful place, for details. No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Contest ends 7/30/105. Void where
prohibited. Fightback.com. I'm David Horowitz.
Once again, the Environmental Protection Agency is telling utilities, states, schools, and child care facilities they must more strictly monitor any lead in water problems. Public and private utilities are required by law to let customers and agencies know about the quality of lead in local water and to promote awareness of any problems. Lead is a highly toxic metal used for years in many household products like paint before it was banned, even though it is still a hazard in many older homes and other buildings. Pregnant women and infants are the most vulnerable to lead, which can cause kidney and brain damage and in some cases even death. The EPA's goal is to make the public aware of the problem before copper and lead regulations go into effect in the year 2006. For more information, go to epa.gov or your local Board of Health. David Horowitz, fightback.com.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use only as directed.
Spam. Computer viruses. Every day, businesses like yours are under attack. And there's only one thing that is guaranteed to stop it. The Barracuda Spam Firewall from Barracuda Networks. It's a device that installs in 5 minutes or less and stops the spam and every virus, guaranteed. Barracuda Networks is so sure of their amazing device that they'll let you try it for free. Just call 888-ANTI-SPAM or go to BarracudaNetworks.com. 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or BarracudaNetworks.com.
First News Talk Sports on AM 540 KNOE. My name is Brendan Spar, filling in for Ray Davidson, and I'd just like to say that over the past 5 years, I've lended my voice to the airwaves of North Louisiana, from a 4,000-watt college radio station to a 100,000 watts of FM 102. I've been heard from Shreveport to Vicksburg. Thanks to radio, I've learned how to read, talk, and do both while waving fingers and while people are waving fingers in front of you. I'd like to personally thank the KNOE family for giving me the opportunity to speak to everyone in the Arklamas, and would also like to thank the Arklamas for welcoming me into your homes. Today is my last day here at AM 540. Have a great day.